Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya. Yes,
bye-bye.
And Glenn Leverins.
This is Morning Air. That's
how I know. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
It's Thursday, March 14th, 2024. Good morning and welcome back to hour number two of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins and studio producer Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us on this Thursday morning in the fourth week of Lent here on Relevant Radio and the new Relevant Radio app. Can't believe how fast Lent has been flying by. If you haven't signed up for Father Rocky's Lenten Lessons on the Mass, these free daily videos, it is still not too late, folks. You can do it this morning at relevantradio.com/Lent. Get ready to learn the Mass, live the Mass, and love the Mass more than ever before, as Father Rocky has said so many times. I want to bring in Glenn and Sarah once again. Hey, Glenn, what are a few of the stories making headlines this hour here on this Thursday morning?
Well, John, some of the scares in the air continue here, as there were no reports of injuries, but an American Airlines flight had to make an emergency landing last night in Los Angeles at LAX. The plane took off from Dallas-Fort Worth, landed safely last night. It was a mechanical problem of some sort. Just last week, a United Boeing 777 as well, same type of aircraft, made an emergency landing in Los Angeles after losing a tire during takeoff in San Francisco. This on the heels of several notable incidents with Boeing airliners in recent months, John.
Can you imagine how scary it must have been for those people on that plane?
Yeah, depending on what it was, you know, I mean, sometimes you hear smoke in the, you know, cabin, things like that, or, you know, anything that's not going according to plan, a little unsettling or a lot unsettling.
Yeah, and there has been a number of these so-called emergencies in the last few months. Back in early January, remember that Alaska Airlines plane that had to make an emergency landing after the door plug literally blew out of the sky at 16,000 feet. You talk about scary.
Yeah, praise the Lord. No one was hurt seriously. You know, no lives were lost in an incident like that. And it's one of the things. Statistically, airline travel way safer than just driving to work in your car or driving to school, wherever you have to go today. But everything is dramatic when something goes wrong.
No doubt about it. You know, and anybody that has sat in a plane and sat on the runway for a long time because something has come up, it knows that feeling that you're not in control.
No, and that's one of the things that people say is kind of what bugs them about being in a plane. They're not in control. Although, as Sarah identified last hour, we're not as in control as we think in traffic. If we're driving, we think, well, we're driving, but it's often the other guy, perhaps, that can bring sudden danger to our trip.
It's all an illusion. Yeah, no, right. You do. I mean, you feel like, oh, yeah, I'm the one who's, you know, steering the wheel and pressing the brake and everything. And you feel that's why, you know, sometimes we have that problem being that backseat driver when the other person, you're just the passenger. But you know what? When you get into a car accident, you realize you didn't have as much control as you thought. And how many near misses? Thank you, guardian angels, for keeping an eye on us. How many near misses do we avoid on an everyday basis? Because car accidents happen all the time.
I think my guardian angels just reminded me that this is a perfect example of why we should go to confession before we hop on a plane, because no one knows the day or the hour. And I tell you, I've actually gone to confession at the airport with a Catholic priest, literally at the gate before you hop on the plane. And so
sounds very private, John.
Yeah, it was very private. But I mean, I think it's a good practice, Glenn.
No, John, do you have a little bit of fear of flying?
Not super, but you know, again, you just never know the day or the hour. So we always have to be ready, always have to be prepared. And I think it, you know, it's a good reminder of the importance of making sure that we're in a state of grace.
Oh, that is true. No matter what we're doing, traveling of any sort, or just going about our average daily business. But for flying, I'm still like a little kid. I don't fly that often. Maybe once a year, if that. I love looking out the window, though. And one time I saw my house, I spotted it as we were, you know, taking off from the airport. And it goes by really quick if you're looking at one little dot from that distance. But I think I'm, you know, might have annoyed or scared the passengers around me. Hey,
did you get your pilot's wings that flight, Glenn?
I didn't, but I do enjoy it. I do enjoy it a lot.
Meanwhile, TikTok continues to be in the news this morning, Glenn.
That's right. The House has passed a bill that would ban TikTok, give the parent company, Chinese company ByteDance, 180 days to sell it, or it wouldn't be available in U.S. app stores anymore. Wisconsin Republican Mike Gallagher said TikTok in its current state is dangerous.
I think the world we all want to live in is one in which ByteDance divests from TikTok and TikTok can continue under different ownership. The possibility of CCP interference and control of the algorithm is what we're trying to address with this bill.
Now, China says that a ban on TikTok will backfire. Their foreign ministry had a news conference, and they were complaining about U.S. efforts and saying that even though the U.S. has not found evidence that TikTok endangered its national security, it's never stopped going after TikTok. And, you know, it's probably to be expected is that viewpoint from China.
Absolutely. trusting the Chinese government when it comes to TikTok, they've told a number of stories that turned out to be not true when it comes to TikTok in recent times. So there's a reason why so many folks in Congress are so concerned about TikTok. In fact, even President Biden himself, who actually has a TikTok account, he said that he would sign a bill if it cleared Congress.
That's right, because our phones should be clear of communist interference and just let the big companies that are listening in to put ads on our phones just clear the way for them.
Okay, we had a lot of fun the first hour thinking about munching on potato chips. It's time for yet another edition of What's That Sound?
Well, I hope you wipe that potato chip residue off and are ready for hour two. Oh, mm-hmm. Very good, Glenn. Finish up, please. We'll give you a second.
A little salty.
Yeah, well, that happens when you're indulging in potato chips. Well, today is potato chip day, so it's a good day to be indulging in that. Let's see if you guys can indulge me and answer some of these next audio clips. John, you're first.
Oh, that sounds like my wife cooking popcorn.
Very good. Yeah, that's popping corn. Where do you think that popcorn is being popped, though?
Some kind of a aluminum popper.
Okay. Yeah, it's an idea. I'll accept that. I was going to say like on the stove. But yeah, that we can accept that. That is a comparable answer. Okay, Glenn, let's see if you can get this one. This is a hard one.
Well, that sounds like popping corn, like in the big glass case thing that you'd find at a candy store or, you know, the old school on the street kind of thing.
Movie theaters.
Very good. Okay, another way to pop corn. Sometimes we use a microwave in our house, or you're right, at the store. They have those, the movie theaters and such. Okay, why am I doing all this different popcorn? Because today is Popcorn Lovers Day, not Popcorn Day, but Popcorn Lovers Day. So it's not for the popcorn. It's for you, the lovers of it.
My beagle loves popcorn. He does tricks. I throw it up in the air, and he's like an outfielder, and he gets under it, and whoop, he grabs it.
Very good. Well, today's his day as well. He can celebrate. Make sure you get however you like to have your popcorn already pre-popped or popped in the microwave or on the stove or in a popper. Today's the day to do it and celebrate it. And we still have some more audio clues. You guys are not off the hook. I know there's only a couple ways to pop the corn, but there are many brands of popcorn. And this first one is the number one brand in America right now.
Compared to any other microwave brand, pops lighter and fluffier.
So you get more popped corn.
Theirs just doesn't measure up to yours.
The first and last name in popcorn.
Orville Redenbacher.
Oh, he is the first and last name in America today. Good job, John. And I don't know who those women were, but they knew a lot about popcorn. They were the special tasters in this commercial and for this particular commercial. And I had to try to edit out the name there because we were trying to keep that a secret. But you got it. Very good.
This is scary. I'm actually revealing my other love besides ice cream.
There you go. Popcorn it is. Okay. Well, we have one more commercial. Let's see if you can figure out this other brand. Not number one, but still in right at the top.
So irresistible, you can't keep it a secret.
Probably Pop Secret, huh?
Yeah, very good. Yeah, you can't keep it a secret. In this commercial, it's the dad sneaking down for a late night snack, but everyone can smell that aroma, as does happen whenever you're cooking bacon or popcorn. The smell gets around and everyone converges on that special snack. So, yeah, very good. Those were the top two. Now, how many colored kernels are there, fellas? Do you know how many colors to popcorn kernels there are? We often see one color, often. That's the main one we often see. But there are four. Oh, sorry, I already said there's four. But do you know what four they are? Do you know what the four? We'll change the question. Do you know what four colors are on popcorn kernels? Not the popcorn, but the popcorn
kernel. I was thinking, it reminded me as a kid, as we were thinking about popcorn here, as a young kid on vacation, I discovered once we had some friends we were staying with that had red and green and, you know, in addition to regular. So that would be, you know, three of the four there, perhaps. Blue, I don't know.
Yep. Brown and black.
No, I haven't seen those. But you know what? The red is
black.
It's been in there too long. Your house has a different smell if your popcorn kernels are black. I've done that. It's no good. No, well, I mean, red does kind of, it's a dark red. So it kind of has a brown. So yes, there's that. And there is a blue. I have not seen the green. So it could be the shade of the blue is similar to a green because it kind of be a dark. But there's also white, which I think looks similar to a lighter yellow and then yellow. So yellow is the one we often see the most, whether it's in your microwave bag or in the jar. And then the specialty popcorns you can get in different places to start to show you those other colors. My favorite, hullless. When there's no hull, that means nothing gets stuck in your teeth. So I don't have to use the floss that night. So I'm always happy about that.
So do we get partial credit for that last one?
There you go. Does that make you feel better? I'll give you the sound. Very good, fellas. Hey, this is all I can say is you guys know snacks really well, so I still have to keep searching for something you guys are not good at. You're great at snacks. Okay, well, very good.
I'm heading home later to give my beagle some popcorn.
Very good. I'm sure he'll be happy to hear that.
All right. As always, thanks so much, Sarah and Glenn. We begin every hour here on Morning Air, always in prayer, always giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings. We always pray through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary, the Mother of God, and we continue to pray for peace in the world, especially in the Middle East and in Ukraine, in our nation, in our church, and in our families. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of relevant radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of relevant radio, pray for us. We always invoke the Holy Spirit every morning, every show, every hour when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Thursdays, we always take a real brief moment to remember the institution of the Holy Eucharist on Holy Thursday by our Lord Jesus Christ. Back during this three-year period of this Eucharistic revival that we've been living, as called by the bishops, try to visit the Blessed Sacrament sometime today if you get a chance. It doesn't have to be a long visit, just a short visit to our Lord, genuflected in front of his true presence, in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from Matthew 5:7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Pope St. John Paul II wrote in his encyclical Rich in Mercy that our Lord Jesus Christ taught that man not only receives and experiences the mercy of God, but that he's also called to practice mercy towards others. As Catholics, we must be merciful as God the Father is merciful towards us. We must see in these words a call to action and try to actually practice mercy ourselves. And so we always pray with great confidence that prayer that Drew and Maggie pray every afternoon during the Chapel of Divine Mercy, Jesus, I trust in you. We need to take a short break when we come back on the other side. Third Order Dominican author and catechist Matthew Plisy will be with us to talk about the spiritual, physical, and the mental benefits of fasting. We'll be breaking down everything there is to know about fasting. So stay with us. There is much more to come here on Morning Air on this Thursday edition on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
It's Morning Air
with John Morales, Sarah Tafoya, and Glenn Levitt on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks for tuning in here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. You can send us an email directly. It's morningair@relevantradio.com. A toll-free line if you want to be part of the program here this morning, 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Now, fasting and abstinence are two practices that we do during Lent, and we've talked about it quite a bit here during this Lenten season. Some Catholics go beyond Lent and observe the traditional Lenten fast all year round. Our next guest is here to share more about fasting, how it was originally done, how we need to bring it back, and he'll also share some of the spiritual, physical, and mental benefits of fasting. Joining us live this morning from Chicago is Third Order Dominican author and catechist Matthew Pleasy with much more on fasting. Matthew is the president of CatechismClass.com, an online-based organization whose mission is to make the best in Catholic religious education and sacramental preparation available online. He's written a number of books, including The Definitive Guide to Catholic Fasting and Abstinence, which was published in its second edition earlier this year back in February. Good morning, Matthew. Thank you so much for joining us. It's great to be with you here on Morning Air for the first time.
Yes, it's great to be here. Thanks so much for having me and to have me on to discuss a topic I feel so passionately about, fasting and abstinence.
Well, Matthew, today is day 30 of Lent. I'm actually keeping score. Would you say that it's still not too late to observe the rest of Lent with the traditional Lenten fast? And by the way, what exactly is the traditional Lenten fast for those listeners that don't know?
Yeah, so one, it's never too late to begin. So even though we're already pretty far into Lent, we are going into Passiontide soon, we're going into Holy Week, this is definitely an opportunity to go deeper into the fasting and abstinence. And what is the traditional Lenten fast? Well, it's what our forefathers did for over six, seven centuries, where the fast would be every single day of Lent, including Saturdays, but not Sundays. And it was one meal, only one meal had after sunset, and the meal was always vegan. So not just vegetarian. It was not until the 6th century you could have fish. So many people associate Lent with fish fries on Friday, but actually there was no meat allowed at all during Lent. All vegan, not even fish allowed for centuries, and not even water in the very early church. That's how our forefathers observed the Lenten fast in the strictness.
How surprised were you when you researched this and first discovered this?
Well, I was really surprised by, I feel like this is not taught, this is not known. Many priests, for instance, who they pick up a copy of my book, they come to me afterwards and they say, 95% of this was new to me. Nobody ever taught me. I wish somebody would have said something. But the thing is, it's also not just Lent. We associate Lent so much with fasting and abstinence, and we should, but there's many other days in the year that our forefathers in the faith would have to fast and abstain under obligation. And if you add them up, you're talking about two-thirds of the year were days Catholics could not eat meat, and one-third of the year were days of fasting. That's what we lost.
So when did fish and fish fries come in?
Well, fish was not allowed until the 6th century. Pope St. Gregory the Great was the first person to allow fish during Lent, but it wasn't until the 10th century you could have shellfish or anything they called more exquisite fish. But beforehand, it was always just vegan. But it should be noted that it was not until 1741 under Pope Benedict XIV for the very first time you could ever have meat during Lent. That was a total acquiescence of the modern world and the Renaissance, and modern man no longer wanted to fast. But you're talking about for almost the whole of Christianity, the notion of any meat had during Lent at all was simply unthinkable.
And, of course, in the early church, we're talking about both in the East and the West. If we're talking about 6th century, this was way before the schism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is how exactly the Eastern Rites observed it as well. And that's why you'll find, even to this day, Eastern Rite Catholics, we talk about Byzantine Catholics, for instance, sometimes, they will observe some of these additional fasts longer. And it's not just the Lenten fast. They're going to be observing the fast called the Nativity Fast, which is also called St. Martin's Lent, a 40-day period leading up to Christmas. They might be observing summertime fast in honor of Saints Peter and Paul in June and the two-week Assumption fast in August. That's something that we as Roman Catholics used to observe, too, centuries ago. And they've kind of kept that practice going on a little bit further. But even they have watered down their fasting a little bit over time.
Do you think that fasting the way that it's practiced today in the Roman Rite is really, you know, pretty simple compared to the olden days?
Oh, well, I mean, there's hardly any fasting and abstinence now, and that's part of the problem. You know, our Redeemer himself fasted for 40 days in the desert, and he's God, and he didn't need to fast. And who are we to say that we shouldn't fast and abstain when the Redeemer himself did so? And he told his apostles that some demons can be driven out only by prayer and fasting. He said that to his closest friends. So if he's telling them they have to fast, who are we not to fast? Who are we not to fast with the strictness that our forefathers did for so long voluntarily? We don't have to do so under obligation, but that's a great opportunity for us to say, I want to do so, and I can offer this extra penance up in a concrete way for souls.
I want to open up our phone lines and talk about fasting. If you have any questions about the benefits of fasting, if fasting is part of your spirituality outside of Lent, if you've been fasting diligently during this Lenten season, we'd love to hear your perspective on fasting. We're taking your calls for Third Order Dominican author and catechist Matthew Pleasey at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. You know, my colleague Drew Mariani has said it many times on the air that he really struggles with fasting. It's really hard for him, and I know that he's not the only one. There's some folks who really find it really challenging.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true, and I actually found it challenging early on, too, but what I realized it was the American diet is made in such a way with so many processed foods and sugars, it actually is a bit of a shock to the body to go into fasting, but after you've done it, assuming you don't have a legitimate, you know, medical reason that prevents you from doing so, after about 1 to 2 weeks, it gets a lot easier, especially if you're able to have water and electrolytes and some vitamins in the morning. It's really amazing what the human body can do, and God allows us to really fast like this. So many people can do a lot more than they expect. And unfortunately, some people just feel hunger and they're like, I've never really felt that before. I must be ill. I shouldn't be able to do this. But, you know, it's okay to feel hunger pains because our Lord was hungry in the desert. But, you know, you should always get it clear with a doctor if you want to do this strict sort of Lenten fast. But I will say so many more people are actually able to do so than they actually assume.
Now, you mentioned just how challenging fasting was in the early church. What about Holy Week specifically? How was fasting done during the most important time of our church calendar?
Yeah, so fasting has changed over time. I go over that in detail over the centuries in my book, The Definitive Guide to Catholic Fasting and Abstinence. But some periods kept strictness longer than others, and naturally Holy Week was one of them. And even through the Middle Ages, St. Thomas Aquinas talks about the Holy Week fast should be the strictest one. So, for instance, it is not just vegan only after sunset, but you can only have bread, salt, and herbs and water, and that's the only thing you're able to consume at this meal. And that would be the case for Monday of Holy Week through Holy Thursday, and Good Friday, you are, if you can, have absolutely nothing whatsoever at all, and continue that into Holy Saturday. And we even see some vestiges of this remain. So, for instance, around the early 1900s, I found a bulletin insert from the Archdiocese of Toronto, and it said that during Holy Week, one should intensify their fast as they're able to do so, and at least on Good Friday to have no alcoholic drinks, because that was the day on which our Lord died, and between the hours of 12 and 3 when Christ was on the cross and he's crying out, I thirst, that we should try not to drink anything, even water, during those 3 hours.
We have a caller from Providence, Rhode Island. Thomas is joining us. Welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Matthew Pleasey, the author of the definitive Guide to Catholic Fasting and Abstinence.
Hi, Matthew. Thanks so much for promoting a topic you're totally right. We don't really hear much about. So just a little background. So right now I'm doing my first bread and water fast with salt. and oil at the encouragement of a priest I know really well, voluntarily, of course. And one concern I have, I think as many people have, a big inhibitor to fasting is, one, how can we ensure we get the right nutrients so it doesn't end up in mistakes like fainting or things that obviously wasn't the intention of the forefathers? And two, in terms of the potential confliction with the virtue of justice, making sure we give our employers and our families, you know, the good that is owed to them, and that our fasting doesn't become some sort of like crusade of self-perfection, which is the exact opposite of what it should be. So if you could speak a little bit to those, how to make sure we get the right nutrients, and two, how to make sure that we do it in a way that least negatively impacts our community, mm-hmm. and our family, but glorifies God. I would really appreciate that.
Yeah, well, thanks for that question. So to your second question first, something I will say is, in addition to that, you know, the fathers, the church fathers, for instance, talk about that when we fast, we obviously are saving money. We're eating much more simple food. We're eating less. And we do so not to enrich ourselves, but that's owed to the poor. So that helps us fulfill the virtue of justice, because all the extra money we're saving should be donated to the poor. And secondly, they also talk about the more you fast, the more you should be praying. So if you're fasting and fasting more, and you're not praying more the Divine Office, you're not praying more the Rosary, you're not going to Mass more, you're doing it wrong, because it is not a diet. You know, if we can go to prayer more, we can, you know, make sure we're persevering in those virtues. And by growing in those virtues, then we can ensure that we observe justice and the other things too with our family. And of course, if we feel that, you know, we're getting ill or something, or we're getting irritable, that might be a sign to, you know, go out of the other room or say some prayers, or to have that little snack that the church allows us to have on a fasting day. That might be a sign to do that. To your first question, I do think, and I focus too on this because I do a lot of running. I run a lot of marathons, and training can be hard on fasting days, obviously. But it is important to watch your nutrition. I think that's why it's important, for instance, that vitamins and supplements like electrolytes are something we should be consuming more even on fasting. We don't want to be so intent on, oh, I can't even have this vitamin gummy here because it's going to break my fast. That's not the case. You know, this is medicine, so we should be doing that. And secondly, when we do have our meal, I do track my macronutrients. So I have vegan protein, for instance, that I put in the shaker, and I'll have several scoops of that with my meal to make sure I get protein. And I'll look at the carbs and the fats, too, and the vitamins, because, yes, we do want to promote a healthy body. We want to promote a healthy lifestyle. There's many physical and mental benefits to fasting. So we're not doing so in a way to hurt ourselves, but we're doing so in a way to discipline ourselves, to bridle the passions that we have in our body, and to raise our mind to contemplate heavenly things. At the same time, as Aquinas taught, you know, the more you fast, the more free time you have for God.
Thanks so much, Thomas. Appreciate the call. Real quick, we're just so short on time and so much to talk about. The spiritual, physical, and mental benefits of fasting, how would you sum it up?
Well, obviously, if we go back to what St. Thomas Aquinas said, that fasting allows us to contemplate heavenly things more. It allows us to make restoration for sin and allows us to overcome our passions. So these mental benefits, the clarity, the desire to please God, the mind is more free. Those are some of the mental benefits. There's many physical benefits too. I have a whole chapter in the book about it regarding fasting has been shown in a number of different studies to help against cancer, to help against a number of different autoimmune diseases, help against a number of ailments that people tend to struggle with. Fasting should not only be a remedy for spiritual ills, it should be picked up as a remedy against bodily ills too. So God has given us this by his example and his command. And he not only gives us these spiritual benefits, he gives us the physical benefits too. So if you haven't done a lot of fasting, I really encourage everybody to these last days of Lent, pick it up and try it. And it might be difficult for a few days, but believe me, after doing this for a number of years, it only takes a couple hard days in, and then you're like, wow, this is getting easier. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to persevere, and it's going to make my Easter feel so much more glorious.
Really appreciate the encouragement. Matthew, thanks so much for being with us. Real quick, where can our listeners find your book, The Definitive Guide to Catholic Fasting and Abstinence?
So if anybody's interested, if they go to catechismclass.com and they scroll down, there's a link there on the bottom. It says paperbacks. If they click that,
the book will be listed near the top of that page.
Thanks again. Many blessings to you the rest of Lent. Third Order Dominican author and catechist Matthew Plessy. We need to take a quick break. When we come back, our spiritual director, Father James Kabicki, will join us to discuss making the sacrament of reconciliation more and more available the rest of this Lenten season. So stay with us as we're headed down the stretch on this Thursday here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day
on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for joining us on this Thursday in the fourth week of Lent. I'm so glad you could make us a part of your morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. You can always send us an email directly. It's morningair@relevantradio.com. And our toll-free line, if you want to be part of the program this morning, 888-914-9149. That's sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters, 888-914-9149. Now, Lent is a time to repent from our vices and sins, and we still have a little bit of time to do it before Good Friday. God is waiting for us with a merciful heart year-round, but especially this Lent. Many parishes and dioceses are making the sacrament of reconciliation more and more available, organizing reconciliation journeys for 12 hours, even 24 hours, as our Rome correspondent reports.
The Dicastery for Evangelization has released a pastoral resource. It's called 24 Hours for the Lord. There's actually a dual focus, and it's adoration and confession. It actually also really fits with the remarks from the papal audience, this idea of calling upon God's grace, and that is the only way to create those habitual dispositions toward the good, to really authentically move towards a path of real virtue. Going to confession, receiving our Lord in the Eucharist, those are our ways to call on that grace. And of course, spending time in deep prayer in front of our Lord is a way to grow closer and closer to Him and learn what it means to live a virtuous life.
And that was our Rome correspondent, Ashley Nerona. So there's no excuse to going back to confession. And, you know, there's many, many more opportunities during this Lent to really have a clean heart before Easter Sunday. Joining us live is our spiritual director and longtime retreat director, Father James Kabicki, with much more on confession in Lent. Father Kabicki is a Jesuit priest, a retreat and spiritual director at the St. Francis de Sales Seminary in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, and a Relevant Radio contributor with his daily prayer reflections, as well as a longtime contributor to Morning Air. Good morning, Father Kabicki. Thanks so much for being with us. It's always a joy to be with you.
Well, thank you, John. Thanks for this topic as well. You know, what we just listened to, that little clip from Ashley, is I think, really a good way for us to introduce this topic of reconciliation during Lent. You know, this is very important to the Holy Father. And so for a number of years, we've had what's called in Rome 24 Hours for the Lord. He this year took it into a parish, the parish of St. Pius V. And here in the Milwaukee Archdiocese, where I live, next Wednesday, the 20th, they're going to have 12 hours of reconciliation, where 11 different parishes throughout the diocese are setting aside time from 8 o'clock in the morning till 8 in the evening for people to come for the sacrament of reconciliation. And I think this is a way of saying that, you know, sometimes people will say, well, nobody's coming. You know, I have confession. The priest might say, I have confession at 3 o'clock on Saturday, right before the 4 o'clock vigil mass or 4:30 mass, and nobody's coming, or I just have one or two. I have found that where parishes make it available throughout the week, that people do come for the sacrament, and not just, you know, people who may be scrupulous and feel they have to confess the little sins of their lives, but, you know, people who are struggling in major ways find real help in that sacrament and going regularly. So I hope that our listeners all have that opportunity in their parishes to take advantage of this great sacrament of reconciliation.
Father Kubicki, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't confession available up until the gospel years ago, before Vatican II, in the traditional Latin Mass? I mean, people would be waiting in line to go to confession right up to the gospel.
That's true. And, you know, I was just giving a parish mission in Appleton, Wisconsin at St. Pius the 10th Parish. And before my mission talk and before the mass that we had before the mission talk, confession was available, and people were lined up. I wasn't one of the confessors, so it wasn't a matter of having an outside priest coming, you know, that they might not feel embarrassed to confess the same sins over and over to. But I was amazed at the number of people who were going, and in fact, as mass began, you're right, people were still coming to confession after mass. Three people asked me, could they receive the sacrament? They didn't have time because the priest had to move on to other things that they were doing in the church, Stations of the Cross and such. So again, I think there is a revival, but especially where parishes make that available throughout the week and not just, you know, a 1 hour slot on Saturdays.
I can think of a number of parishes where there is a confession during the week and especially right before Mass. And I mean, in some of these parishes, you know, the lines are, you know, really amazing. How many people waiting in line, you know, four lines to confession all going on at the same time. It's a beautiful thing to see. I want to open up our phone lines and bring in our listeners. If you want to give a shout out to your parish where the sacrament of confession is available throughout the week, and not just on, you know, for 45 minutes on Saturday afternoon, or you have to make an appointment. We'd love to hear from you, your experience of being able to access the sacrament of confession on a more frequent basis. We're taking your calls for our spiritual director, Father James Kubicki, at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Father Kubicki, here we are. We're just a few weeks left in Lent. Why is this the perfect time to go to confession?
Well, we're anticipating, you know, the celebration of how Jesus took upon himself the sins of the world and allowed them to be nailed into his body on the cross. And so, you know, we're honoring our Savior who saves us from sin. But that's followed immediately by the fact that death did not overcome Jesus, sin did not overcome Jesus. He rose from the dead to give us eternal life. And so we have the great season of Easter, the season of joy. And, you know, so often we don't think of confession as a sacrament of joy. But a couple of years ago, on March 25th, 2022, Pope Francis consecrated the world, and in particular Russia and Ukraine, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. But before doing so, there was a celebration of the Sacrament of Reconciliation. And in his homily, Pope Francis talked about the sacrament as a sacrament of joy. Let me quote to you, John, a couple things. He said, "Our confession gives the Father the joy of raising us up once more. It is not so much about our sins as about his forgiveness." Of course, it is about our sins. We bring them to the Lord, but he's happy to remove them. And so then the Pope went on to say, let us first look at things from God's perspective. Then we will rediscover our love for confession. He says, and then he went on to say, reconciliation, may we not neglect reconciliation, but rediscover it as the sacrament of joy. And think of that, not so much as the joy we might feel being relieved of our sins, but the joy we give the Father, the joy we give Jesus. I think in his earthly life, the thing he most enjoyed doing was healing people spiritually, forgiving them their sins. And he tells the parables, three parables in Luke chapter 15, that say there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous who have no need of repentance. So Jesus is teaching us how much joy he receives in being able to relieve us of the burden of our sins and give us his peace. And that's a perspective that I think we I myself really strive to have when I go to confession, to think of it in terms of the joy I'm giving the Lord in allowing him to forgive me and heal me.
Well, Father Kubicki, I remember vividly that consecration of Russia and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. There were images of the Holy Father, Pope Francis, hearing confessions himself. Can you imagine people waiting in line and actually going to confession with the Holy Father, the Pope?
You know, I can imagine it would be somewhat intimidating, or maybe people would expect that, oh, there's going to be some maybe special thing that he will say. And I can't help thinking of, you know, Padre Pio, who sat in the confessional hour after hour, and people would line up because, you know, they wanted to go to confession to this great confessor, this great saint. And yet, you know, the power of the sacrament is not so much the individual personality of the priest or the pope or whomever, but it's our Jesus acting in the person of the priest, just as he does at the altar. When the priest says, this is my body, this is my blood, we have not the priest saying that, but Jesus saying that through the priest.
Father Bill is joining us this morning from Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin. Good morning, Bill. Welcome to the show. You're on with Father Kubicki.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for all you guys do. So I live in the Racine area. Kenosha, St. Peter's in Kenosha, they have the MIC, the Marians of the Immaculate Conception, priests. So they have confession every day, Monday through Saturday, at 7:30, right before their 8 o'clock Mass. And it's really well attended, but it's just, it's such a blessing to have that opportunity.
Well, Bill, thank you for giving a shout out to the parish in Kenosha. And again, you know, I think it's so important that we hear this, you know, because a lot of times, again, people will say, well, nobody's going to confession. It's the forgotten sacrament. And in places, as you say, where it is available to people, people do come. So thanks for that shout out to the parish in Kenosha.
Thanks, Bill. We go to Sophia, joining us from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good morning, Sophia. Welcome to the show. You're on with Father Kubicki.
Hi. I also just wanted to give a shout-out to my home parish priest. His name is Father De Palma, and he also has confessions from every single day, Monday through Saturday, and he's all by himself, and he's the only priest there, and he always has confession, and he never misses them. And his lines are always super duper long. So I just wanted to give a shout out to him. And he's always just so great.
Well, thank you, Sophia. That's, again, another great way that we can support our priests is to let them know we appreciate them making the sacrament available to us. So thanks very much for your call.
Appreciate the call, Sophia. Father Kubicki, in the final moments that we have, some words of exhortation to our listeners. If you've been thinking about it, you haven't gotten around to it during this Lent, and now is the time before Good Friday to go to confession.
That's right. You know, we began Ash Wednesday with readings from St. Paul, and where the word is, now is the time, now is the day of salvation. And it's so easy to put things off until another day. But the most important thing is that we consider each moment precious. And so we can give that moment of reconciliation to the Lord, give him the joy of going, and come out of there prepared to celebrate Holy Week and Easter, spiritually prepared. So I just really encourage our listeners to, in these final weeks of Lent, if you haven't gone to confession, now is a great time to do so.
Our Lord is waiting for you. Father, can you give us your blessing?
I'm happy to do that. Lord, thank you for this time of Lent, the time of conversion, time when we remember your great love. May your blessing come upon us, all our listeners, and our families, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, as always, Father Kubicki. A really important conversation we had this morning about a confession. Thanks again.
You're welcome.
Father James Kubicki, a retreat director and spiritual director at the St. Francis de Sales Seminary in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today called Share Your Time. A man came home from work late again, tired and irritated, to find his 5-year-old son waiting for him at the door. "Daddy, may I ask you a question?" "Yeah, sure. What is it?" replied the man. "Daddy, how much money do you make an hour?" "Well, it's none of your business. What makes you ask such a thing?" said the man angrily. "I just want to know. Please tell me, how much do you make an hour?" The little boy continued to plead. The man said, "Well, if you must know, I make $20 an hour." "Oh," the little boy replied, his head bowed. Looking up, he said, "Daddy, may I borrow $10, please?" Well, the father was furious. "If the only reason you wanted to know how much money I make is just so you can borrow some money to buy a silly toy or some other nonsense, then you march yourself straight to your room and go to bed. Think about why you're being so selfish. I work long, hard hours every day, and I don't have time for such childish games." The little boy went quietly to his room and shut the door. The man sat down and started to get even madder about the little boy's questioning. How dare him ask such questions only to get some money? After an hour or so, the man calmed down. He started to think he may have been a little hard on his son. Maybe there was something he really needed to buy with that $10, and he really didn't ask for money very often. The man went to the door of the little boy's room and opened the door. "Are you asleep, son?" he asked. "No, Daddy, I'm awake," replied the boy. "I've been thinking," said the man. "Maybe I was too hard on you earlier. It's been a long day, and I took my aggravation out on you. Here's that $10 you asked for." The little boy sat straight up, beaming. "Oh, thank you, Daddy," he yelled. And then, reaching under his pillow, he pulled out some more crumpled up bills. Now the man, seeing the boy already had money, started to get angry all over again. The little boy slowly counted out his money, then looked up at the man. "Why did you want more money if you already had some?" the father grumbled. Well, the little boy replied, "Because I didn't have enough, but now I do. Daddy, I have $20. Can I buy an hour of your time?" From Psalm 127:3, "Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him."
Thanks so much, Glenn. All during this Lent, we invite you to pray and watch the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky and Maggie at 7 p.m. Central tonight and every night of the week. You can video stream it on our Relevant Radio app and at relevantradio.com. That'll do it for this March 14th, 2024 edition of Morning Air. For Glenn, Sarah, Gabby, our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God bless America. We'll see you tomorrow on the next Morning Air. Visit our Lord Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament today if you get a chance. Patrick Madrid is up next.